Are you struggling with co-parenting with your ex-narcissist? To me, that's one of the biggest challenges, is that the difficulty in actually ever being free from the narcissist comes into play. And my clients, my friends that have struggled with this need more information. They need to understand, how can I help them? How do I empower my child? How do I keep track of the things that are going on and do it in a way that supports my children's growth? Most children still love their other parent. And so we must remember that and not poison the kids against them. My name is Tracy Malone, and today I have got a wonderful guest, Christine Hammond, who is a therapist and a podcaster and an expert in this field for many more years than I am. And so she's going to share with us the secrets on how to co-parent and how to help your child and yourself to get through these times. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm so excited to have you here. You have been an icon in this world and helping so many people. So I'm honored that you're here. Thank you. Want to tell us, my audience, a little bit about you?
Sure. So I'm a licensed mental health therapist in Florida and also a board certified therapist in the country. And my practice specializes in personality disorders. And so how I got started into that is, I come from a family of narcissists. And after realizing that that was something that was just pervasive within my entire family, I started to find solutions and ways to work around it. And then started putting those theories into practice in my own private practice and have found some success in that area. So that's how I came to working with narcissists and even borderlines and sociopaths and all kinds of other different personality disorders, and trying to find solutions so that we can live together and work together, and for today, especially co-parent together, because you never quite lose them, even though you've gone through a divorce.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things.
It is.
I'm getting an echo here. There we go. So it's one of the hardest things that challenges everyone, because there's so much anger and so much hatred as they reach the end of the divorce, that the mere thought of sending off your kids to mommy or daddy that's an abuser, it puts fear inside the victim parent to send their kids off, knowing that they'll be influenced, that they'll be controlled, that they'll be poisoned.
Right.
And so I know that's their fear. And that generally, in some ways, comes true for most of the situation, because we know narcissists and abusers like to control. And the one way they can get you is through the children. So when we know that is their goal.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, how do we empower our kids to go off? And is there an age, like when they're three, are we not telling them, oh, daddy's a narcissist?
No, please don't ever do that. That is so problematic on so many fronts and can wind you up in a nasty legal battle for what they call parental alienation. So it's bad enough that you might be dealing with parental alienation from them. You can't be contributing to that, you know, on your end. So it is important to always remember that your child is half them and half you. And whether you like it or not, they have inherited traits of both of you. And some of those traits might even be similar to the narcissistic parent. And so one of the ways that you can work towards this is by identifying the things, even within your own child, that might be problematic, like stubbornness, unwillingness to accept responsibility, unforgiveness, those types of things in your own kid, and sense of entitlement, those types of things in your own child. If you can start to work with them and parent them and explain to them why this is not acceptable and this is not okay, to act this way, then sometimes they'll start to see that naturally, all by themselves in their own parent, in the opposite parent. And then sometimes they're smart enough to even call it out on the other parent, which of course causes its own set of problems, but at the very least, the child's able to identify the behavior as being healthy. And that's the most important part. So a lot of times you can use your own child's tendencies to even absorb some of those traits themselves as teachable moments for helping them to understand how not to be that way going forward. And then that also helps you, it helps the child, and then it also helps them to be prepared for how to deal with the other parent, because they'll start to see that behavior as not being okay.
What if they're really young?
So when they're really young, it's, again, equally important to remember they're still half and half, right? And so when they're small and they're tiny and you know that they're going off with the other parent, you know, a good thing to always remember is, like, there's some things that are within your control and some things outside of your control. And unfortunately, you can't control what is being said or what is being done, but you can control what you say and what you do. And so just remember that no matter what the narcissist is saying about you or how they're acting and behaving, you can't say the same things in response back, because that just feeds it and fuels it and actually makes it worse. And you protect your kids by telling them, here's some safety rules. And I teach all my kids safety rules. Like, it doesn't matter whether they have a two-parent household or a one-parent household. We teach them people don't touch you in certain places, in the bathing suit area is what we call it. We teach them that here's a phone, here's how to dial 911. This is what it's like. These are the times when you need to dial 911. Here's some plans of escape, even from your own house, the house that they're in now, if the house was on fire, if you felt unsafe, like, who's a neighbor that you can go to? Like, what can you do? Who can you call? Like, even a young child, you can teach how to do these things, especially with technology the way it is now. You know, it's not as difficult as it was back in the day when we were growing up and the phones were actually attached to a wall, right?
For the time.
Right, exactly. And so now we don't have that problem, and they can access people through a computer, through the internet, through multiple different ways. And I know of 5-year-old kids who are more proficient on the computer than I am. And so they can be taught at a very young age how to handle things and how to make calls, so that they can get help if they need it.
Yeah. And I know for me, one of the important things was teaching boundaries.
Yes. Yes.
So what kind of advice do you give a parent to teach them how to teach a child to set boundaries with their abuser parent?
Right. So, like, part of that happens at home, right? So, like, if you have a set of rules, and I ask parents to usually have, like, 5 rules that they stick on their refrigerator door that everybody agrees on that we're going to go by. So, like, a good example, and they're positive rules, not negative. So instead of saying, do not cuss, we're going to say, use kind words, right? And so that becomes a rule of your household. So when a rule of your household is, say kind words, and then they go to another household and that rule isn't the same over there, then that's once again like a teachable moment. Hey, like, it's not okay for you to talk to me like that. And we talk about how to handle that. Like, how do you handle it when somebody talks to you badly, whether it's at school, whether it's at, you know, you're at home, whether it's another relative, like in different environments that the child's in, like, how would you handle somebody talking mean to you? And so in that way, you can help them to start to set some boundaries. If they know what the rules are and they have to follow the rules in one household, it's easier for them to translate that into another household. And then they're the ones that become like the little tiny enforcers of these rules.
Yeah, that's not okay, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's important. Because I think we need to empower these kids to get out there and to not be a part of the conflict, despite the fact that they're walking into what we perceive as the war camp. Kids love their parents, and they don't and shouldn't know all of the drama that happened. They will make their decisions as they get older and as they experience life. They will be able to pick things out and in time be able to protect themselves from the choices that you know, have been laid upon them. But when they've got to go, creating chaos before they go, or, you know, talking badly about the other parent is our own poisoning of them. And I think a lot of parents struggle with that.
Yeah, they do. Which is why it's super important that your household has those rules, right? That you follow, and that you are not adding to that dialogue with the child. And you can even say, "Hey, this is your safe place. Like, here we don't say unkind things about other people. Here we are nice. Here, like, you can present a problem or you can present a situation in which you don't know how to get out of it, and we can come up with solutions." And you're not going to get in trouble for it. Like, you know, when you start to offer them like safe solutions, then your house becomes the place that the child like feels naturally comfortable at and feels like they can let their guard down and let it go. Because what winds up happening in the narcissist household is that they can't let their guard down, right? And they can't like be fully themselves. So all the more reason why they have to have a place that they can be fully themselves. But then even in that, you can teach them that, like, you know what, like when you're there, you do have to be a little bit more careful so that you don't like poke a sleeping bear, right? And so that you don't wind up getting in trouble. And yes, you might have to follow a rule that you don't like, but when you come here, you can breathe and, you know, you're going to be given the space and you're going to be given the freedom to be able to just like let go and be yourself in this space. And then you can use an example from work. You know, I love to like show kids like this isn't just a thing that is only going to happen when you're a kid, but when you're at work, there's certain standards for behavior and how you talk to somebody else that are just not acceptable. And so where you might get upset at home and you might even raise your voice at home, that might be completely unacceptable in a workplace environment. And so we're all kind of given these like little boundaries that we have to follow in different places. And it's not being a different person in a different place as much as it is learning how to adapt yourself to the environment that you're in so that you stay safe and so that you can still thrive.
Yeah, that's great. I like that a lot. So when the parent is told to document what the other parent's doing. So let's say the parent picks them up late or doesn't drop them off when they're supposed to, or does some kind of things. A lot of people are told to document everything.
Yes.
And what I have heard from many friends and clients is nobody cares if I document it. Like that's what they're wondering. Why are they having me document it when they've got a book this thick and nobody's listening? Nobody wants to read it. What is the end goal with that? And how can we reassure people that is an important step? Because if it comes to a point you are going to need that, that's when you need it. You know, on an everyday, it's not going to make much difference. But can you expand upon that?
Sure. So like most of what we ask people to do is preventative, right? So we're asking you to do something just in case something else bad happens, right? On the back end of it. And if you have a record of like the number of times that they have missed something, and honestly, it could just be a checklist. Like you could easily do an Excel spreadsheet that all you do at the end of the day is check was late, check didn't call, check like whatever it was for the date. And you just plug in the date and then you just mark little check marks. It's super simple. It's just a little log that you can keep so that it's not like you having to write it out every single day. You're just checking little boxes of like, because they'll do the same thing over and over again. One good thing about narcissists is that they like do the same stuff over and over again, right? They don't morph into like something else like a sociopath who like learns from their mistakes and like gets better and more clever and more manipulative and more cunning. They're not like that. They keep doing the same method again and again and again. It's part of their sense of superiority that they already know the best and like nobody can tell them any different. So you can literally have a chart, an Excel spreadsheet, so it isn't like logs of stuff that makes it easier for you to fill out and complete, that you only add to it when you need to. And that is for your record. So you can say X number of days, they didn't take the kids. You know, it's kind of like a summary at the end of the year. For year 2018, they missed 340 phone calls. And they failed to show up or contact or were late on 175 days, like so that you have that in case you have to go to court. And this isn't necessarily about you going to court to get any more timeshare. Sometimes the narcissist will like drag you back to court because they love court. and they'll drag you back to court. And if you don't have that documentation, I can guarantee you they're going to have some weird evidence that they've pulled out of the air. And so this is to help you and to protect you more than it is anything else. And that's why I say it is a preventative thing, so that you are preventing something bad from happening, in case the narcissist decides to like change the custody or do something else or go after you later for something else.
Yeah. And I think with that log, I keep getting a feedback here. With that log, to keep the emotion out of it.
Oh, yes.
What I find, what you were saying, simple spreadsheet, missed this. Didn't do that. Check, check. It's it's those people that, and this is what journals are for. This is to write down how you felt when she did that or he did that. That gets it off of your chest. But to bring that into the courtroom, no one's going to read it. That's the perfect example of we don't care. But if it's that fact, that simple, here's the dates, here's what he missed, here's what she did. That's a much cleaner and evidence-based type of thing. So to hold your emotions out of it, despite the fact that you've got them, get another book and write down in your journal so that you can like look back and see patterns, whether they're recurring or how you felt, how you can change your emotions and not let them trigger you so much. Because that's the end goal, is to find a way that it's safe for you to not be triggered. There's almost a part of expecting these behaviors. If we expect them, we can prepare for them.
Right.
If we are blindsided by them, blindsided is just a terrible place to be. So I think,
and that's the best part about a narcissist. It's like their behaviors are so systematic and their abuse methods are just so unbelievably consistent. Like they will go from like a verbal assault to like a physical aggression to then gaslighting, and they do the same exact pattern every single time because they're not a sociopath. They don't morph and change into something else where you have to worry about like, oh, some new form of abuse. No. Once you got the pattern down, you got the pattern down, and then it becomes super easy to start to identify and work around. And that's something that like you break it down in little sections for your kid, right? Like, so you say, when somebody says mean things to you, how are you going to handle this? You know, what are you going to do? And that's a life lesson that we do not only for the home, but also like on the playground, in the neighborhood, at school. Like that's something that they have to learn how to deal with no matter where they are and no matter who it's coming from, whether it's coming from an adult or a peer.
Yeah. That's great advice. I know that another big concern, and I had a support group meeting with about 30 people this week, and I think it came up about four times, is that when your child starts to show behaviors, so you send them off to mommies or you send them off to daddies and they come back and they're not following the rules on the refrigerator anymore. They are morphing into empathetic-less person. Mm-hmm. They're morphing into something that triggers the victim to go, oh my God, they are becoming the narcissist. How is the best way to handle that when that starts to creep in? Because they can see it creeping in.
Yeah.
Very often they don't do anything until it's like, oh gosh, they're full-blown narcissist children. So how do they...
So I believe that there should be like a grace period, right? That the kid, like think about how you are when you get into like a difficult situation and you've been highly stressed out, right? If you were to go into an environment where it's not as stressful, you're still bringing that stress along with you. And it takes you a while to even decompress yourself before you're able to reset and go, okay, now I can get back to being me. And I can like put that aside for a second. All right, well, your kids don't know how to do that. Like they need to be taught how to do that. So what I suggest to parents is that when they start displaying patterns of behavior that are more like the narcissistic parent, is that we give them a grace period. And that grace period might be an afternoon. It might be an entire day. Like you give them a grace period where like, okay, I'm not happy about this behavior, but just understand like tomorrow we're gonna talk about it. But today, we're not going to punish for it. Like, So then that way the kid still feels like this is a safe place where I can let out all of that frustration that has been pent up for the umpteen days that I've been gone. And they have the ability to let go of it and then start to breathe and come back around to themselves. And what I have found is that most kids are unbelievably apologetic the next day, right? They're like, oh my gosh, this is so, I'm so sorry, mom, dad, please forgive me. Like they're just, they're very understanding the next day, but in the moment they have a hard time. But as adults, we do the same thing. So giving your kid that break and that breathing space, will actually what winds up happening is that space starts to shorten, not lengthen. And the key to shortening that breathing space and not lengthening it is you have to have the conversation. You still have to talk. Hey, it's not okay about what happened. It's not okay that this went on. We still have to have this discussion. Even if you're not going to be punished for it, you still have to have the discussion about it.
Yeah. I remember a deprogramming time after my son went off to his father's. He'd come back and it was almost like a whole day.
Yes.
Where he could come out of and be back. And so yeah. That was really helpful to accept that we need that deprogramming.
And understand that during that time period, this is like what I would call like sensory decompression time, okay? So we don't overload them with senses. In other words, you don't get them from the other parent's house and now we're gonna go to Disney today. Like, no. Like they come home and we cut down on the amount of electronic devices. We like don't have any other activities that we really have to do. We're not going to grandma's. Like, we're just like breathing. We're watching TV. We're popping popcorn. We're relaxing on the next day. And then you can go do whatever you want to do the following day.
Yeah. Thank you. I would love for you to tell my viewers where they can find you, because I have been listening to your podcast for a long time, but tell them about where to find you.
So I have a podcast called Understanding Today's Narcissist, and you can find that on iTunes or Google Play. You can actually find it also on my website. My website is Grow, G-R-O-W, with W-I-T-H, Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. .com. And that is my website, growwithchristine.com. My podcasts are on there. I have articles. I've written probably over 100 articles now on narcissism. So it's a really good resource for you. And I would love to hear from you. Like, let me know what's going on. Let me know if there are any areas that you want me to talk about, because I love hearing from my listeners.
That's really helpful. Thank you so much, because I've read a lot of your articles and I think a lot of YouTube viewers get stuck in YouTube land and yeah. They don't know the power of the experts like yourself and authors that are out there that are putting a book together, putting something together that can help them. They just get stuck in that. I only want to watch it. And if it's more than 15 minutes, I'm gone. You know, it's like, how are you going to heal if you don't put the time in? If you want to learn Spanish, you're probably studying Spanish. So study these things by reading blogs, by, you know, going onto someone's website like yourself and seeing all that you had to offer. You've done hundreds, if not more, podcasts, and there's so much free information in there. So thank you so much for what you do.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for this. I love being able to be on here and talking with you.
Thank you so much, and we will see you again.
Sounds great.
Wasn't that great? I just love her. I love her work, and I encourage you to go check out her blog and listen to her podcasts. Do you know how cool podcasts are? I mean, besides the fact that I have one, you can listen to a podcast on the train ride home. You can listen to it in the grocery store. You could be sitting on the side of the soccer field with a little earbud in and be getting educated while you're sitting there waiting for the school bus. Podcasts are portable, and the information that you will gain from her podcast is amazing. So I strongly encourage you to go and follow her and start to get some more love into your life. Get a little bit more support and help. This is Tracy Malone. I am the founder of NarcissistAbuseSupport.com. So if you are looking for resources, please check out my website. We have listed support groups from all over the country and the world. And we've got therapists that are qualified in your area. And we've even got resources for people that are looking to get some help that don't have any money. There are domestic violent agencies all over the country that offer free help, free support, and we've got them listed by state. So visit my website and let's get your healing on. Thank you for joining me.